Welcome back. I am your host, Isaac. I'm here today to talk to you about the latest and greatest. This is going to be another one of these random shows. We're going to jump from one topic to the next. There's a little bit of something in here for everybody. Now, I know what you're saying. You're saying, Isaac, you just published a podcast a few days ago on the... What did I publish it on? I don't even remember. Met Gala. Met Gala. The 2019 Met Gala and all the Luciferian symbols and ideas hidden within. But I've got more to talk about. So here we are. Now, of course, I'm going to go through a little bit of housekeeping. We're going to catch up, you and I. We're going to catch up on some things. And then what are we going to get into? We're going to get into a bunch of stuff. We're going to talk about, what do I got here on my list? Pete Davidson tattoos. We're going to talk about Logic, the rapper. I don't have much on him, but I don't have much on any of these topics, so don't get too excited that we're going real deep, because this is going to be more of a breadth than a depth, okay? Lil Nas X, you heard that song. Old Town Road, we're going to talk about that. Talk about Game of Thrones theories. I'm gonna pitch out an idea, and you tell me what you think. Updates on Britney Spears. You done talking about Britney Spears? I'm not. I've got a little bit on Steph Curry. He plays the sports ball, but he also plays the conspiracy stuff. And then if we have time, we'll get into a little bit on Stanley Kubrick, MK Ultra. Was he a victim? I think so. I think I found it. Illuminate confirmed. Stanley Kubrick, MK Ultra. He was in the program. I should make that the main teaser of this episode, huh? That's probably the most interesting thing I'm going to say here today. But hang in there. We're going to get through a little housekeeping. Just give me a minute. And look, if you're confused as to the release of podcast episodes, hey, I'm confused too, all right? This is based on two factors. How I release my episodes is based on two factors. One, the most important, I need content worth talking to you about. I'm not going to just waste your time and mine unless it's something worthwhile to this overall journey, this overall experience, this exploration of the rabbit hole. Because I want to keep digging. We're jumping down the rabbit hole with a shovel. Who's coming with me? So I got to have content worth talking about is one. And then number two is my personal schedule. Finding time to do all this, right? So if you're... Most podcasts are like one a week religiously. Every Friday released. Mine are all over the place, so... And sometimes when I go deep on the topics, it takes me a little longer. So it might be a couple weeks between episodes. Because there's a lot of preparation that needs done. A lot of editing that needs to happen. Like when I go through some of these films. Wicker Man, Suspiria, the Us film. They take a lot of time. So I'm just letting you know, I don't have a consistent schedule. I try to be consistent. I try to hit one a week. Sometimes I hit two. Sometimes I don't hit any. But just know you're always in my heart. You're always close to my heart. And I'm not going to do... Because I don't like doing these three-hour shows. Some of these people do three-hour shows. I'm not on Joe Rogan's level. I don't do this full-time for a living. I can't... It's hard for me to book the guests. Because I can't commit to my schedule all the time. So it's hard to get guests. I like having the guests. I've got a couple I'm trying to work out for you. And plus, how does Joe Rogan know so much? Can we talk about that for a second? We're going to call him, he's a robot, Joe Robot. I don't know how this guy knows so much stuff. It is not natural, okay? Shout out, Joe Rogan. Now, let's talk about my book. Are you done hearing about my book? I spent many years preparing to write this book, researching. It's called The Dark Path. If you haven't picked it up yet, do it. But I do want to go through the reviews. I like talking about the reviews for the book on Amazon. You can leave yours and I'll read it. I do want to shout out just anonymous Amazon customer said it was an interesting dive into occult symbolism. And oh boy, you guys know I can't get these names right, right? You know, 100% of the time I can't pronounce names. Valentiger wrote, so my husband came to me and said, hey, I'm reading this book about occult stuff and popular culture. You should read it. So I downloaded it, started the book, couldn't stop reading it till I was done. Now I can't stop seeing the evidence of these occult practices in the music industry and movies. It's so crazy that it's been right in front of us the whole time. So choose wisely. Will it be the blue pill or the red one? Once your eyes are open to the truth, you can't stop seeing it. Big ups to you guys leaving the reviews. I appreciate that. Because not only does that mean, you know, you got the book, then you read the book, then you left the review. That's a lot of commitment from you. So in return, I want to thank you. That's a big deal to me. It really is. If you haven't left your review, I know you read the book already. Leave your review on Amazon already, would you? As you know, I've got my Vimeo channel set up. All the archived videos that I had back in the YouTube days are up now. Watch them all. Watch them in their original format before you CensorTube messed with them and did all the things they did to them. Go to IlluminatiWatcher.com, hit the videos tab. They're all on there. I had to make a couple of quick little posts in order to get the videos up. Like, I got a couple on Johnny Depp from American Horror Story and Black Mass and X-Files from the newest little half season they did a couple years ago, where the alien DNA is going to save us. That's what they were talking about. So I got those videos back up. Check them out. Again, big ups to Patreon team buying the hosting for all these videos for everyone to enjoy. Hours, hundreds of hours. Waste your entire life watching videos on my Vimeo. And then I know some people ask me to make new videos, and hey, maybe if the opportunity presents itself, I will do that and upload them on Vimeo. Every now and then I do it because it seems relevant to support the theories, but it does take a lot of time, and I'm working on a book. I'm trying to write a book, so be on the lookout for that. Shout out to Christine. She's been he or she. I don't want to assume genders, right? We can assume Christine is a female, but oh boy, this politically correct side of me is in real trouble. But Christine has always been leaving comments. One of the OGs, double OG on the IlluminatiWatcher.com, always finding good stuff. I always check out the links Christine leaves. She is the plug on the Illuminati stuff. But apparently, Miley Cyrus shouted out Free Britney at her concert. She sang whatever the America song is Miley Cyrus does. And she says, and the Britney song was on, and yelled out Free Britney. And why did she do that? Well, I think it's part of the big agenda. And we're going to talk about that in just a little bit here. When do we get to the Britney updates? We're not there yet. I've got a couple little more housekeepings. Hang in there. I've got a correction to the correction. Last episode, a week ago, 2 weeks ago, before the Met Gala episode, I talked about Andy and Mickey Rooney. I slipped it up. Well, I slipped up the name of the guy who let me know about that. Feral Surge. Did I get it right now? Okay, good. I checked him out. I cyber-stalked him a little bit. He's a rapper. Got that 90s boom bap going on. Anyways, big ups. Sorry for messing your name up. I told you, I say it all the time. I get these names and I screw them up 100% of the time. Definitely a weak spot. Now, let's get into... Oh, last thing, Patreon. Patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher. Go sign up because I've got a post on there for the month of May. And what I want you to do is sign up, join the team, get on there, and tell me what you want me to talk about. I'm gonna address the content that you want me to address. How will that look in the end? I don't know. If every single person says, I want you to research this topic and give me a podcast on it, that might be years worth of stuff, right? So it might be, I don't know yet. This is an experiment. I want you to join my experiment. I will, at the very bare minimum, address the topic of concern. I've got a couple on there. People want me to do shows on or talk about like flat earth, vaccinations. Like those are, I mean, we could write a whole book on these topics, right? So I can't do that. But we're going to at least address it. And hopefully it provides some kind of insight. Maybe we'll do a whole show on one of the topics. Maybe just a brief mention on another topic. But get on there and say your piece. Let me know what you think. Now, the episode before the Met Gala, I talked about the tattoos towards the end. About the face tats. And I was saying that it's, you know, like, I don't have a problem with it. What do I care? But unfortunately, the older generation that runs this world, they've all worked their way up to the top of the food chain, and they're running all these different industries and such, you know? They don't like it. And that's all I'm trying to tell you is my advice is just don't go too crazy with them. Don't get the tattoos all over the place. And sure enough, SNL creator Lorne Michaels came out, has a problem with all the tattoos that Pete Davidson has. You know Pete Davidson. He's the guy with all the tattoos. The tall, skinny guy. He was stripping Ariana Grande for a while, and then he moved on to Kate Beckinsale. And if you ask me, he's hooked up with Machine Gun Kelly more than these women. He's got this weird obsession with Machine Gun Kelly. He's always hanging out with him, but he looks like he's kind of a stan for some reason. But anyways, it all goes back to John Mulaney, who was a comedian, and he talked about it. And he recounts a situation where he recalls a conversation with Lorne Michaels. And Lorne Michaels says he keeps getting tattoos, and you know they're coming up the neck. I get it if you're a girl and it's on your neck, or if you're like a boy in the army. So there you go. What that's all I was saying, right? Okay, good. I'm glad I got that point across. I've had some flack for that in the past, so I just wanted to say, hey, that's proof positive that it's happening. Okay. Let's see. What else do we got here? Logic, he's a rapper. He does the 1-800-SUICIDE song. I'm not super familiar with his work. He seems like a pretty good rapper, though, from what I've heard. And he's got a new track called Keanu Reeves. He was also on The Daily Show recently. But he's got a track called Keanu Reeves. And, you know, this guy insists on making sure we know he's half black because he looks kind of like a white dude, right? I think he keeps telling us how he's half black, so gives him a pass to drop the N-word in his songs because he does. But on this track, Keanu Reeves, that he has, he says, F Illuminati, that boy Six got my back. Six made this beat. Six bring the heat. So in one breath, he says, F the Illuminati. And then three times he repeats the number six. Six got my back. Six made this beat. Six bring the heat. Three exact references to Six, the perfected man. What does it mean? I don't know enough about Logic to know if he's Illuminate confirmed, but that's strange, isn't it? Okay. Little Nas X, we're cruising through. We're gonna be done here. We're gonna be all caught up here real soon. Little Nas X, that's a rapper. And I want to know what you think. What do you think about it? He sings the song Old Town Road. It's the country. It's the song no one can identify. It's the genderless alien. And the first time I heard it, I thought, this is stupid. How awful is this song? But, you know, I think that was because I'm conditioned, like everyone else in the masses, I'm conditioned with social constructs, social norms and rules. And the more I look to someone to tell me the rules, the more control they have over me. So why do I do this? I don't know. It's human nature. Please tell me. Tell me, scientists. Tell me what to think. Tell me what to believe. Please, Billboard, tell me what song is the most popular. I gotta know. It shouldn't matter, right? But we all do it. And I fell up with that. I didn't like it because I thought, you don't put the country stuff in the rap song, you know. I don't like that because I don't like country music. And that's putting it pretty lightly. I strongly dislike country music. But Billboard, it showed up, and this is what's funny. It debuted at number 19 on the top 100 Billboard country tracks. And then Billboard Music, they removed it from the country, listings there. Why'd they do that? They said it was because he's black. No, I'm just kidding. That's what you were thinking, though, right? That's what you were thinking. But no, they said it. In fact, let me pull it up for you. I'm going to read you what they said. It says, upon further review, it was determined that Old Town Road by Lil Nas X does not currently merit inclusion on Billboard's country charts. When determining genres, a few factors are examined, but first and foremost is a musical composition. While Old Town Road incorporates references to country and cowboy imagery, it does not embrace enough elements of today's country music to chart in its current version. Well, there you go. Right or wrong, I don't know. I don't listen to country music, but who am I to judge, right? Why do we even have these? Why do we even have these genres, right? Isn't that, wouldn't that be the progressive thing to do, is to just get rid of them and just say it's music? This song, like I said, I didn't like it the first time I heard it, but you know, it's kind of nice, man. I like the idea of bringing these two worlds together a little bit. Make me enjoy country a little bit. Make country people enjoy rap a little bit. Actually, a pretty beautiful thing. So I find it interesting that they're trying to decide where it belongs. It says it broke the most streams of music in 1 week, beating out Drake's In My Feelings. So I want to know from you, get your thinking cap on here. Go to my Twitter at Illuminati Eyes. Hit the follow button. Let's do that. Let's push the social meds while I'm still around. And I'm gonna put a poll on there. And I'm gonna have you vote. What's your favorite rap country crossover song? Because it's going to be a thing now. You know that, right? You know that there's gonna be at least four more rap country crossover songs this year. And sometimes these country guys start rapping, and it's very embarrassing. Cowboy Troy, or I don't know who these people are. I've heard it in the past, and it makes me cringe a little bit. I throw up in my mouth just a tiny bit, but it's gonna be a thing now. It's gonna be worse than ever. But there's gonna be three options, and here's my three. And this is just because I thought about this song and I thought, has this been done before? And it has. Nelly did that song over and over. I don't know who. I think it was Toby Keith, maybe. So he did that, and Bone Thugs, they did Ghetto Cowboy. Go take a listen to those tracks, listen to all three, and then put your vote down. I want to know what you think. I've got my selection in my head. I'm not going to tell you what it is. I don't want to taint the results, you know. Not that you would listen to me. You shouldn't. But yeah, go vote at Illuminati Eyes on Twitter. Next, mushrooms. Let's talk about the shroomies. I've been researching this because in my book I'm going to have on aliens, part of the agenda here, I think, is to, it's all about understanding the mind. And as part of that, you got to understand psychedelics. And I don't know much about psychedelics. So I've been reading stuff. I've been listening to on Audible, Michael Pollan's newest book on the topic, which we're going to revisit in a little bit here. Teaser. But Denver, on May 7th, apparently Denver, Colorado, they were voting on decriminalizing psilocybin, a.k.a. magic mushrooms. And big ups to my dude who emailed me this a few weeks ago. I don't want to say his name in case he seeks the privacy. But told me all about this, and I was like, what? So I looked it up, and sure enough, on May 7th, they were going to vote for it. So I was very curious to see what would happen. And I checked the vote status midday, May 7th, and they were like, no, not going to pass. It's losing. 55 to 45%. But then I looked again, and what do I see? But it flipped around. And they're saying that, like, in, with a less than 1% margin, I think is what it was, that it is going to indeed pass. And now you're probably saying, well, what exactly is this law? Well, I guess what they're saying is they're going to decriminalize psilocybin. It doesn't necessarily give authorization for people to use it, I guess, or to produce it or sell it. But if you're caught with it, it's no longer criminal activity. And what they're talking about, what I've read about here, is that if you look at the history of psychedelics, they had a very strong and profound effect on treating disorders, anxiety, PTSD, depression, because all those things are about living in the future and living in the past. You have anxiety, it's because you're living in the future. If you have depression, you're living in the past. So going back to the days of the shaman and such, and all these ancient cultures, they all did this stuff. Ayahuasca, the psilocybin, they all used a guide, a shaman, to help them get clarification in their life, some clarity. So I think what they're wanting to do is have facilities down there in Denver where an actual professional can guide you through the process, which is great because in Michael Pollan's book, it says that the set and setting is the key determinant as to how the outcome of the trip will be. And again, I don't know much about all this stuff. I have no firsthand experience, but it's very fascinating. So be on the lookout for that, I guess. I don't know. But they said May 16th in Denver, they're going to firm the votes up because that's very close. More to come on that. Now, let's talk Game of Thrones. Watch the throne. Jay-Z and Kanye West. Watch the Game of Thrones. Jon Snow, I propose, is Jesus Christ. He's the Jesus Christ Messiah. Why do I say that? Well, I mean, he's going to be the false Christ Messiah. You'll notice, like, he's got the knife scar over his eye. He's got the all-seeing eye highlighted. But he died. Then he was resurrected. Not by traditional mean, not by God the Father in the clouds, by the Lord of Light. Lucifer resurrected Jon Snow. And you saw in the last episode, last week, that he left the North on a horse. And the redheaded wilding guy, I don't know his name, he asked why he's not taking the dragon. Because he could have, right? That'd be a more, what would you say? That would be a more pronounced arrival. But he humbly says he won't take the dragon because the dragon's trying to recoup from the battle. Now, what does that remind you of? That reminds me of Jesus Christ riding the donkey in. All the Jews of the day wanted their Messiah, strong and powerful, riding in on a horse or whatever. I'm just saying, like, the analogy is there between the horse and the dragon and the donkey and the horse and all that. So, what does that mean for Jon Snow? I think he's going to transfigure out this joint. I don't think he's going to die. But I also don't think he's going to be around. I think something's going to happen. Supernatural element is going to happen to Jon Snow. And he will no longer, in the bodily form, in the earthly form, be in the world of the Game of Thrones. It's a crazy idea. It's a crazy theory, but I'm just going to throw that out there. We'll see. And also, I was researching a little bit on Game of Thrones because, and this ties into it a little bit, Jon Snow was fighting the White Walkers. Well, in the Game of Thrones books, apparently, they call the White Walkers the Others, capital O, Others. What are the Others? That's the same as the Adversary. That's what they called, it's basically the archetype of Lucifer. It's the archetype of the Outsider, the Saturnian forces. We've also got the Starbucks cup. Did you see that? They had a Starbucks cup on the table in Game of Thrones on the last episode. They accidentally left it on there. I put accidentally in quotes. I don't know if that was an accident. Do you think Starbucks paid them a free advertisement? I mean, how many people are watching this show? It's a lot. I don't put anything past these people. But what it was, see, the Starbucks logo, that siren on there, is actually Illuminati confirmed symbolism. It goes back to this idea of these amphibious hermaphrodite deities. You saw this on Ancient Aliens with the Dogon tribe in Mali. They worship the Nomo. These Nomo deities, they're hermaphroditic deities. They come from Sirius. That's why all of these ancient religions look to Sirius for some kind of source of energy. That's why Kenneth Grant talked about Sirius being the source of thelemic current. It's all this esoteric stuff. But apparently that is, officially, I don't know that that's why Starbucks chose that as a logo. I just know it shows up in, Gnostic symbolism and such. Brittany time. Let's get through Brittany. What's the latest? Are you tired of talking about her? I am. She's having a hard time, okay? We talked about her in the past, almost every episode now, because there's always something new. It says here, Brittany has won a legal victory to keep her former manager, Sam Lufty, away. I talked about Sam Lufty a couple weeks ago on the Big Brittany Show, because he plays a role here. Let's see. He is... Okay, so they're saying that he is harassing her and giving death threats. And this is where it gets wacky. I'm going to read this. An LA judge granted Spears a temporary restraining order against Lufty on Wednesday, ordering him not to contact the singer or her family. Insiders say Spears and her family believe Lufty, who managed her from 2007 to 2008, is behind the recent hashtag Free Britney fan uproar over the conservatorship of her father, Jamie. I'm going to read that again. It doesn't make any sense, right? They think that Sam Lufty, her former manager, is behind the Free Britney movement. It says here, if you connect the dots, it all leads to Sam being all over this, an insider says. People have been sending death threats, and they suspect it's the same folks behind hashtag Free Britney. Okay, that's very strange, right? But apparently, he wants Britney's mom, Lynn, to challenge the father's conservatorship. And also there's a, let me pull up, I got some more for you here. You can read these letters on theblast.com of a transcript, I guess, between him and Lynn, Britney's mom. And it's very strange. He's trying to hype her up and saying that she's the strong woman and she deserves to, and doesn't understand why she can't just get 12 of her friends to hop on a plane and go to Paris whenever she wants. She deserves that. That's what it says. that's what it says. I'm not making that up. But apparently something's, because Papa Bear handles the funds. She can't just grab 10 friends whenever she wants and fly to Paris. Oh, the tragedy. Oh, the horrors. These celebrities have it so bad. Oh, no. Why can't she just do the private plane to the car to Paris whenever she wants? I don't know. What did she do to deserve this kind of treatment? Oh, my God. Seeing these damn celebrities, they make us worship them like they're gods. And this just proves that they live life like a god. I couldn't take 10 friends to Paris. I can't take 10 friends to Burger King for the GMO food. I can't even turn my friends into genetically modified organisms. Okay, let's move on. We're almost done here. We're wrapping up. Sam Tripoli, he's the Tinfoil Hat podcast guy. I was just on a show a couple weeks ago. If you haven't heard, go listen to it. It was about Nipsey Hussle. But he posted on his Instagram feed something that I've had on my list to talk to you about for a long time, and I always run out of time. Sports baller Steph Curry. I don't know. I assume he plays basketball because that's what rings a bell in my mind. Like, I catch names when people are talking about sports ball, and I think he's a basketball player. Could I have Googled that? Sure. Am I going to? No. But he says that he was on a radio show talking about how the moon landing is fake. And he questioned the existence of dinosaurs. He's on our team, right? He's on the crazy team, and I like that. But what I found odd, and here's what I wrote down, because on Sam's feed, you can hear the audio clip. But Steph Curry was on a podcast, and this was like, I bet this was a year ago at this point. But the mainstream media hopped all over this, and they were like, oh, Steph Curry says moon landing is fake. And if you listen to the context of it, like, he barely even talks about it. I mean, it's like 2 seconds. He hardly even says the words. He could have been a bit tongue-in-cheek. He could have been joking around a little bit. But, I mean, he's not out there lecturing about how the moon landing is fake, even though it was. But, you know, you got to take some of this stuff with a grain of salt. The mainstream media is trying to demonize people for their beliefs. They're trying to demonize people that are anti-vaxxers. And look, that's a whole topic in and of itself. I'm not saying I'm pro or anti-vaccination. I'm just saying I get it. I get it. I get both sides of the argument. But the, you know, the mainstream media is the tool of the Illuminati. Sometimes you got to watch what they say. I mean, for the most part, I feel like we can trust them. But sometimes things don't make sense. And you got to understand there's a lot of money behind these people. There's like, you know, all these media conglomerates are run by like the same three people. And that's just a good example. They're trying to demonize all thought of conspiracy and, like, you know, bring up the flat earth stuff. Not that I'm like a pro flat earther guy, but, like, you know, normal people, they don't know how to explain why the earth is round. They don't know, but they sure will ridicule you as if you're an idiot. Some of that flat earth stuff makes sense. But for the most part, I'm still on the, I don't believe it's flat. What else? YNW Melly. That's a rapper name. His real last name is Demons. And sure enough, he is in prison looking at the death penalty, perhaps, for shooting and killing some people. I don't really dig his music. I heard his tracks before he got arrested. Then he had this song with Kanye West about split personalities and, you know, alter ego stuff, which is a great segue to our last topic. I was listening to Michael Pollan's book, and the book is called How to Change Your Mind, What the New Science of Psychedelics Teaches Us About Consciousness, Dying, Addiction, Depression, and Transcendence. And he goes through the history of the psychedelics, LSD, he talks about MKUltra a little bit here and there. And what really made me pay attention was a section where he talks about Oscar Janiger, who was an MKUltra doctor. I'm going to play the clip here.
LSD therapy also became the subject of remarkably positive press attention. Articles like My 12 Hours as a Madman gave way to the enthusiastic testimonials of the numerous Hollywood celebrities who had had transformative experiences in the offices of Oscar Janiger, Betty Eisner, and Sidney Cohen, and a growing number of other therapists. Anais Nin, Jack Nicholson, Stanley Kubrick, Andre Previn, James Coburn, and the beat comedian Lord Buckley all underwent LSD therapy, many of them on the couch of Oscar Janiger.
So there you have it. Does that make sense or what? Does that make sense? Stanley Kubrick, the guy who made 2001: A Space Odyssey, showing us the future for mankind, the evolved alchemical process for mankind to become the Star Child, which, as I talked about in The Dark Path, of course, when you read the sequels, the full plan is laid out for man to evolve, not into another terrestrial being, but extraterrestrial in the forms of digital consciousness to stream across the universe. So he filmed 2001, he filmed A Clockwork Orange, which was directly about mind control and the government being involved in it, by the way. And it turns out, Oscar Janiger, an MKUltra doctor, was working with Stanley Kubrick for LSD psychedelical therapy. And you know, Kubrick left America and didn't come back. I wrote a book about it. I wrote another book about it. It's called Kubrick's Code. Check it out. It's even, if you go to my Gumroad store, you can stream a 3-hour video I did on the subject. Clips from the movies, of course, in fair use, my friends. Go to gumroad.com/IsaacW. Go to Kubrick's Code. I got signed paperbacks. I got DVDs, but I've also got the PDF file. I think it's like $9.99. You can get the PDF copy of the book and stream the 3-hour video, or you can buy the DVD. But all of that, and I wish I would have known that, right? I mean, I could rewrite these Kubrick books because I learned so much about this guy. He was definitely involved. And now we can prove that. And I tried to find more info on this online, and there's not much out there. I wish I could, I wish I had the clout to talk to Michael Pollan to find out where he learned about this. But that blew my mind. And Oscar Janiger came up previously. I believe it was on the Marjorie Cameron. It doesn't matter. I don't know where it was. It was somewhere. But it came up in my research on MKUltra. So I was already cued in. And there you have it. So that is all I got for this week. I want you to subscribe to the show. Thank you very much for your time. Thanks for listening. Thanks for the reviews. I know I don't want to spend our time talking about the reviews you've left, but big ups to those of you that left reviews on Amazon for The Dark Path or any of my other books and leaving reviews on iTunes. These help the most. These help me get higher up on the ratings so that other people check it out and we can make everybody granola, alkaline, vegan, woke. All right. I want to thank you again for your time. As always, stay woke.